how this works. Now, getting it off the iPhone is going to be another challenge, but we'll see how it works. All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to start reading at verse number 13, or we're just going to read verse number 13 and 14, actually. Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 13 says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you, or show to you today. For the Egyptians which ye have seen today, ye shall see them no more," or "you shall see them again no more forever." Praise God. The Egyptians who you see today, you'll see them no more, or you'll see them again no more forever. "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given me this morning, God, to give to your people. I pray for your anointing, God, to be here throughout, Lord God, as I deliver what you've given to me, God. I pray, God, for hungry hearts, God, that are open, Lord, good ground that it would fall on, God, and take root, God, in our lives, God, and help us, Lord, to grow thereby. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated, and for the next few minutes, I want to preach to you from this thought, a see them no more victory. A see them no more victory. In order to have the ultimate victory, you have to face the fiercest battle. In order to have the greatest victory, you have to be facing the worst defeat. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. The weaker we are, the stronger he becomes. You have to be brought low to be exalted. This thing's full of paradoxes and extremes. And lots of things that take us out of our comfort zone. But in order for God to elevate you in the spirit or in the natural, there must be a journey to a place where your senses are useless for navigating and comprehension purposes. As long as you can see the way, you'll never rely on him to lead you. You will feel that you need to rely on your flesh to figure it out. And off you go down the wrong way. There is a way that seems right to a man, the Bible says, but the end thereof is destruction. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. But when you've reached that no man's land where you don't know where to go, you don't know what to do, you have no one to turn to, you can't see your way out, your belief system has been set up by Almighty God for an extraordinary paradigm shifting turn in the direction where now God is ordering you, because only he knows the way. Only he knows how to get you out of that. Yes. Praise God. But to get there, you have to be willing to be led by God to the never chosen, often avoided, at every cost town of back up against the wallville. A scary place to be, because you're forced to trust and rely solely upon God. Your resources don't work. Your intellect can't figure it out. Your hard work ethic can't do it. It's a place where your worst fears look like reality. David called it the valley of the shadow of death. But David says in that state, I will fear no evil. He's looking at something, and he says, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because David was used to a shadow, a different type of shadow. The Bible says in Psalms 91, 1 and 2, he that dwelleth in the secret places of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him whom will I trust. Yes. Yes. He was already used to living under a shadow, the shadow of the Almighty. It's something else. How bold a fellow will get when he knows that he's backed up. David, the Bible says, marched straight up to that giant because there was a cause. And he knew his God was greater than what stood in front of him. The Bible says, they that know their God shall be mighty and do exploits. So when you feel isolated, abandoned, you've got to know that God's with you. He's got you. It's necessary to go through. Everything he starts, he finishes. He who's begun a good work in us, the Bible says, he shall perform it. Yes. Hallelujah. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yes. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Greater is he that's within us than the one that's in the world.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. We're overcomers.
Yes.
The children of Israel were given 10 examples of God's dominance and superiority over their chief nemesis, the Egyptians. The Egyptians more or less bullied them for 400 years. The Egyptians had a smaller population and they felt threatened by their visitors. And the Bible says they oppressed them, even to the point that they started killing their babies, their male children that were born. There was over 400 years of generationally handed down limitations and bondage on the minds and the spirits of the Israelites. They could scarcely imagine freedom, but lived with the constant fear of Egypt. There was 10 plagues that he used to exercise his mercy towards Pharaoh and the Egyptians. 10 unmistakable, non-coincidental, in anyone's mind, means that he used to mess with nature, to bend some of the laws of physics, to display his supernatural ability. God delivered them with an overwhelming display of his superiority over the enemy, even to the point that they spoiled or stripped the Egyptians of their valuables without lifting a finger against them. But he knew that the enemy would never be satisfied simply letting them go. God did what it took to get to Pharaoh's heart, to get to Pharaoh's mind, and to get to all the Egyptians' minds. And they were overcome with emotion at the death of their sons, their firstborns. All of them were dead. You know, back in those societies, they put a lot of emphasis on the firstborn. He was the one that was going to inherit everything. And now all the firstborn, not only in their houses, but also among their sheep and their cattle, everything. What kind of God is this? And they let the Israelites go. And the Bible says, Moses had given them instructions. He says, now, this is going to happen, but what you need to do is you need to go to them and borrow some things from them. Borrow their gold and their jewelry and all that other stuff. And it was as if they had gone to battle and beat them in battle. And that's what you did when you beat your enemy in battle. You took the loot, the spoil. And the Bible says that God gave them that same effect. So they walked out of there. They didn't just get freed, but now for all the years of bondage, they were paid. And the Bible says that God knew that the enemy wasn't going to be set. You know something? Newsflash. Satan still thinks he's in control of your life.
Yes.
I don't care how long you've been saved. Satan still believes that. Mm-hmm. And with a little persuasion, a little trouble, you'll begin to look back at how it was without God and only see the things you enjoy selectively and conveniently. Forget the things that were miserable in that existence. You know, nobody but Moses knew why God told them to take a hard right after they left Goshen. Here they go. They're coming out of Egypt. They actually lived in Goshen. So, they were already to the east of Egypt. And the Bible says that Moses takes them out, leads them out. Now they would have been going northeast to go into Canaan. But Moses takes them out and God speaks to Moses and says, take them right. Make a sharp right and go south. Nobody knew. They didn't really care. They didn't ask a question. They just allowed Moses to lead them. But they knew direction. People, you have 4 million people. Somebody in that 4 million group knows which way you're going. But they were just so elated. This guy is the leader. He is the bomb. He's the guy that just got us out of here. And so whatever Moses said they were going to do. And so they follow him down. And Moses is just great. You know, he's the greatest thing since, you know, whatever. And then they, as they're traveling, are we coming to water? You know, you can smell water from a distance. You know, and this is salt water, so I don't know if there's a stronger scent or not. But they, at some point, they knew they were approaching water. And then, just as the group was realizing that they were approaching water, the Bible says somebody in the back or somewhere saw a dust cloud. They decided to investigate with their eyes. And when they did, they saw an even bigger dust cloud. And they knew what that meant. Somebody was riding hard. And it was a big dust cloud. So there was a lot of somebodies riding hard. And there was only one thing that they could think of. Their worst sneaky suspicion and fear. The Egyptians were coming. And somebody, you know, they didn't take a lot of faith to realize that. That was their fear. And so someone spoke up, the Egyptians are coming. And that's all you had to say. It was like dominoes throughout everybody. Everybody is struck with fear. And then they surmised that the reason that we took this hard right turn and we went south is because there was no graves in Egypt. You're in league with Egypt. You're in league with Pharaoh. It didn't make a bit of sense. But, you know, when we are just confronted with something that's overwhelming to us, our senses have been flooded. You know, our senses are our data extracting instruments. That's your sight, your hearing, all that stuff. When all of that has been flooded with evidences of what you fear. Fear is a paralyzing agent. Yes. You know, a lion's roar. I think the gazelle, you know, he's thinking about that all day long. He's eating his grass and thinking about that. That's why they move so fast. Thinking about that. And then that roar comes and all of a sudden, everything, he feels it. His ears and his eyes might have spotted a lion some time ago, or he thought he saw a lion, and he's paralyzed. He can't do anything for a second. Then finally they take off. But sometimes that lion's roar is enough to stop an animal in its tracks, especially if they're not running. If they're running, they're trying to get out of there, you know. But the Bible says our adversary is like a lion, a roaring lion. You know, lions sneak up on their prey many times. They don't even roar. I mean, they're just sitting back. You know, especially the females are the ones that go hunting anyway. A male uses that, and that's just something. We don't do that in the human race. Females aren't the ones that go out to do the hunting. But, and if you're dating somebody that's that way, then I tell you right now, get away from him. Amen, Brother Johnson. But, you know, the Bible says that the enemy is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, looking for somebody to devour. And he comes with fear. That's one of his greatest tactics. It works over and over. We're kind of programmed, you know, we have this flight, you know, when we're overwhelmed with fear, we want to get out of there. We want to run. Even though Moses knew why God said to do this, he didn't know what God was going to do exactly. That's the trust. Moses just did what God said to do. He said, God, you said turn this way. Okay, we're going this way. I know Midian's up there. I mean, I've lived in Midian. I know this area very well, but you said go here. I'm going here. And so he just obeyed God. And there's something about that. The devil never accepts that you're a Christian. He believes that your commitment to God is contingent on a few things. Blessings, happiness, circumstance, situations. And, you know, those things changing will change you. That's what he feels. That's what he believes. So he sets out to disrupt your life, hoping you'll get discouraged and quit and give up on God. That's what he's all about. He wants to, in some way, some shape or form, lure you away from God. Either with all the good that's empty, or with discouragement. Look at Job's life. The Bible says, Job's argument to God, or Satan's argument to God about Job was this: let me subtract from him and he'll curse you. It was that simple. God, you've blessed him. You have this hedge of protection around him. Let me through the hedge. Let me subtract some things that he really hangs on to, that he really loves and thanks you for and loves you. He says it's all shallow. He says, if I get to him, he's going to change. God knew. You know, the Bible says he's the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. God knew And so God trusted Job enough to allow him to face some things. He allowed Satan to get in there and do what he's going to do. If God thought it was going to harm Job to the point that Job would lose out with God, Satan would have been blocked. But God brought it up in the first place. Satan's just coming in, you know. God says, what are you doing? I mean, he says, well, I've been roaming to and fro the earth. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? God brought it up. God, why are you volunteering me? I mean, but God knows some things. He knew some things. And so he volunteers Job. And God allowed Job, he allowed those things to be subtracted from Job so he could double. Sometimes you wonder why. God has a plan. He's not just allowing things to happen, you know, just to hit you. God already has a plan. He's already worked it out. He's a couple steps ahead of Satan. Yes. Satan's going to always tempt. He's going to always try. He's always going to tempt you and try to pull you away, try to do things to discourage you. Because he believes like you, or like him, you want to leave God. That's what he believes. And with enough persuasion, you will. That's what he believes. That's what he has faith in. Satan has faith that with enough persuasion, you'll leave God. He really is counting on that. He's thinking that you're going to leave God. If he puts enough things in your way and lures you enough, you're just going to leave God. He's confident. He has a lot of, he believes that. He's always trying to mess up God's plans for your life. But thank God that God is light years ahead of Satan. Yes. Ultimately taking what Satan meant for your destruction and blessing you with it. He takes what he meant for your destruction and turns it into something good. You know, Israel was at the Red Sea. The Egyptians came in to the very path. God, of course, that night blew on an east wind on the sea, and it dries all up. And Israel goes across. And they're saved. They're happy. They're on the side. And they're just, but nobody's celebrating. Nobody's jumping up. They just walked through the Red Sea, and it was dry. The day before, they were complaining at the Red Sea that you're going to get us killed, Moses. Now, let me tell you something. A lot of people, scientists and others, not really just scientists, I'm not going to pick on them. There's people that are just skeptical. They've said things such as, the Red Sea at a certain time of the year is really low, and so it's no big deal, and you know that God did something. But listen, let's just bring some logic into the discussion. If these people are standing at the Red Sea crying the blues about they're about to die, and Egypt's right over there coming after them, then why would they, well, why would they be upset if the river was so shallow? They would have just waded in and just went across. But it was a formidable foe, that water was. It wasn't something you just wade across. It was a genuine miracle of God. But here's the enemy, and this is how he does. These things that had for 400 years plagued generations of the children of God. Had plagued them. Here they are in their deliverance. They walk across, God made a way, and they're just quiet. You don't see anything they say. They're going to say some things later, but right now, they're not saying anything. They just walk across. They get across. Everybody gets across. The elderly, the feeble, everybody gets across. And then here comes those things that had plagued them, were attached to them for all those years. All that negativity started coming across too. God, you made a way for us. Look at this. They're going to catch us. They're going to get us. Satan will continue to chase you right up to the point that God defeats him. Come on. He's not stopping. He's going to keep coming after you. He's going to keep on trying to take you down. He's going to keep on trying to make sure your life is a mess. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. Satan's the master of fear. He likes to use that instrument to discourage you. Here's the synagogue ruler. You know, he comes to Jesus and he tells Jesus, my daughter is about to die. Please come and pray for her. Heal her. And Jesus says, okay. He starts going. And as they're going, the Bible says that the woman with the issue of blood had her own separate issue altogether, her own little thing going on. And she said within herself, if I can just touch him. And it just so happens that at that exact moment is when she does. She touches Jesus, hem of his garment. She's healed. Jesus says, hey, somebody touch me because virtue has left me. I didn't commission it out. It's the only time that happened like that. It's the only time, you know, up to this point. And so he sees the lady. She falls down in front of him. He deals with her. And then when that's done, just at that same moment, here comes two guys, the bearers of bad news. But they've been traveling all this time. There's no phones, no cell phones. They couldn't text them or anything like that. So here they are. They get there. They arrive. And then they begin to tell him, hey, don't bother him. Don't bother the master. Just it's over. You did your best. It's over. But how many know that God doesn't give up?
That's right. Amen.
Jesus quickly turns, pivots, and says, only believe.
Yes.
Don't let that doubt paralyze you. Don't let it do all the things that it wants to do to you. Only simply believe. Because it's about the change.
Amen.
I'm still coming. I know your situation's still a mess. I know it got worse. I know it seems like it's final. But I'm still coming. And if you'll still believe, then God can still answer. God can still move when you'll still believe, when it looks like everything is all messed up and it can't change. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just keep believing.
Amen.
When there's no rational reason to do so, when sight doesn't support your optimism, when everyone's discouraging you against it, when it looks it's bleakless, hopeless, impossible, keep believing.
Amen.
Keep believing. Praise God. Because God's not finished. He doesn't quit. Even when the doctors give up. Even when the lawyers give up. Even when your friends turn away. Even when your father and mother forsake you. The Bible says that the Lord says, I'll take you up.
Yes. Thank
it's time
you.
For us to keep believing. He's not the quitting kind.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's time for us to give God some praise right now.
Yes.
Hallelujah,
thank
God. Thank you, Lord God, that you don't give up.
Oh,
you don't quit, God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. I can have confidence in
yes.
you.
Yes. Yes.
I can have confidence in you. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Pharaoh was crossing the Red Sea. But God had a plan that required Israel to get a little uncomfortable. And sometimes God's plan is going to make you a little bit uncomfortable.
That's right.
But see, he had to get Pharaoh's army to a place that they could be annihilated. If he got them into the center of the riverbed, it looked as if they were going to catch up to Israel, but this was part of God's design. He needed to get them in the middle. And the Bible says that he started doing something to show you that is God's plan. All of a sudden, they thought they saw from up on the hilltop where they had escaped to. The Israelites were looking back and watching these guys come over. They thought they saw one of the chariots wobbling a little bit. Yes, it is. And boom, the wheels came off. Then off another one, another one, another one. Then several, all the chariots, wheels started popping off. And then Israel, you start to see their faith. Now, the guys don't have too much faith. They couldn't remember the plagues. They couldn't remember all that stuff that God had done before. Now they're starting to get a little bit of faith because, hey, there's something going on in the middle of that riverbed. They're coming after us, but all of a sudden they're stuck in the mud.
Yes.
Now what was dry ground for us now became a mess for them. The hot sun's up. You know, and now that wall, that those walls look like they're moving a little bit. And the Egyptians are a little nervous.
Yeah.
But they're way out there. It's too far to turn back. It's too far. They've gone too far. And they've played right into God's hands. Yeah. Satan thought that if I could get not somebody on the outside, but one of Jesus' men.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the guys that walked, the guy that carried the guy that was the treasurer. Who financed, you know, the operation? Or he was at least the comptroller. He kept the purse. If I could get him to turn, he has a price. He has a price. There's a certain price of money that if he's given, he'll do it. And sure enough, Judas did. And Satan was so happy. And Judas went out. Jesus even knew what he was going to do. He tells him, "Go, what you're going to do? Do what you're going to do. Do it quickly." Judas goes out, gets the chief priests. They get the soldiers. And they come over to where Jesus is at, in the garden, praying. And the Bible says that Judas came and kissed him. And of course, you know the story how Jesus was then taken to a kangaroo court. Satan had him. He didn't understand what he was doing. He didn't understand that he was playing right into the reason that Jesus had come. And that's how it is in your life. When Satan messes, when he gets in your life and he gets in there and twists and mess things up, he doesn't understand that God's going to turn that into a testimony. Mm-hmm. No matter how bad he does it, when God gets finished straightening it out, it's going to be a testimony. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
God just simply let nature take its course. after interrupting the flow of that river all night and letting his people come through and letting the Egyptians get halfway through. Then all of a sudden the rivers broke. Those walls that had been congealed came together and there was no more of the problem. It's time to take all the generational curses. And yes, that's true.
Come on.
There's things that have plagued families. You look at them, you know, the father's an alcoholic, the mother's an alcoholic, or the children turn out to be that way, and the grandparents were that way, and then you go back into your history, and this person was that way. There's things that have plagued families. There's abandonment, abuse, emotional, physical, mental, sexual, addiction, anger, rage, violence, control, possessiveness, manipulation, emotional dependency, fears of all kind, idolatry, money extremes, greed, poverty, not caring for children, parents and children exchanging roles, physical infirmity, sickness, disease, mental ailments, depression, suicidal thoughts, marital infidelity, pride, rebellion, rejection, insecurity, religious bondage, cults, sexual sin and perversion, unbelief, unworthiness, low self-esteem, inferiority, Satanism, witchcraft, occult, alcoholism, drug addiction, whom the Son has set free, the Bible says, is free indeed. No more lack, no more addiction, no more rebellion, no more perversion, no more pride, no more stealing, no more lying, no more cheating. It's time to let God defeat everything the enemy's been chasing you around with. Hallelujah. Trying to tag you with it, trying to label you with it, trying to tell you you can't change it. It's inevitable. It's your nature. It's who you are. Your daddy was like that, and his daddy was like that. And you're not going to be able to change. You're going to be the same way. But the devil is a liar. I hear a different voice this morning saying something altogether different. Saying, I'm healed. I'm filled. I'm delivered. I'm set free by the power of God. My enemy's defeated. God's given me dominion, authority over every lie of the Satan. Every lie the enemy tries to bring to me. Everything he tries to tag me with. God's here to make you free. He's here to break the bonds of sin and shame, to destroy the works of the devil. You have a reason to shout. You have a reason to sing. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. When you went down in Jesus' name, the pages that recorded your sin were stained with the blood of the Lamb. You came out white as snow. What can make me white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can, hallelujah, make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. For weaknesses that have plagued your life and battles that you constantly had to fight, I give you Jesus. I give you Jesus. Let him destroy the enemies that were set on your destruction. Hallelujah. He wants to give you a see them no more victory. He wants to give you a see them no more victory. He's taken what's plagued you, what you couldn't shake, what's been your hang up. He's taken your weaknesses. He's given you strength. Amen. Strength to fight. Amen. Strength to have victory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Strength to walk in victory. Strength to have a see them no more victory.
Yes, I like it.
Come on, man.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
That's what God has given us this morning. Amen. Let's stand.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Sometimes you don't understand the Almighty's hands and how he's allowing things to progress or to degress. To digress. I mean, to get to the place that they seem like they just, walls are closing in. But the Jobs of the world always have something that they can take courage in. Though he slay me, I'm going to serve him. But I shall see God in my flesh, is what Job said. When corruption, somehow these guys had faith. And there wasn't a lot of scripture to tell them this. But he believed that God can take this flesh that's been corrupted because of it's gone down into the grave.
Yes.
He says, I'm going to see God in my flesh. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what Satan has plagued even your family with. Doesn't matter what kind of, you know, the Israelites, the hardest thing they had to do was to shake the years of bondage. It still had its influence. They were about to go into the promised land. They were in the wilderness, on the outskirts of the promised land. And 400 years still had handcuffs on them. 400 years still had shackles on their feet. They were in bondage in their minds. They couldn't believe that God really was going to do it after all the things that God had done. And when you look in your life after all the things that God has done, it doesn't matter what stands before you. It doesn't matter what challenges are standing before you. The God that brought you out is the God that can bring you out. Hallelujah. He's more than able. He's more than able. Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise. Let's just give God some praise right now. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you right now. Hallelujah. We praise you. We magnify your name right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's able to give you a seed of no more. It doesn't matter what's plagued you. Doesn't matter what your challenge has been. God can give you a see them no more victory. He's here to do that. Hallelujah. God's here to give us a victory. But sometimes we have to praise him right in the middle of the battle. We have to praise him before it's over. Before we see it all. The Bible says that when they saw them drown, all of a sudden Miriam got the tambourine out. And she began to thank God and began to worship God and praise God. But sometimes we have to recognize when God first comes to us and says this to us, when God gives you that calming, relaxing, you know, words, those soothing words, he said to Moses to tell the people, fear not first. Stand still and see. I want you to look. Three things that he commanded them to do, basically. He says, fear not. Shut fear down. You don't have to fear. That's a choice. That's a belief. Yes, there's strong evidences in many cases, but you can shut fear down by choosing to believe what he says. Whose report will you believe? There's two sets of groups that came with reports. The 10 spies that had all bad to say, but they were carrying the evidence. Isn't that something? The 10 spies had all bad to say, but they were carrying the evidence of what God had said. They had the grapes on their shoulders. And then you had the two that says there's giants in the land. There's a lot of obstacles that say that we can't. But you know what? God says we can. There's fear over there. They're taller than us, but they're afraid of us. They're not just afraid of us, but they're afraid of our God. Hallelujah. Greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. God wants to give you and I a see them no more victory. Conquering your enemy. Hey, I'm not saying some things are, you're never going to have a, but listen, when God gives you victory over something, you can tell the devil, no devil, that's not going to get me again.
Come on.
I might have messed up. I might have done this years ago. This might have been a challenge for me yesterday. But I'm telling you right now that God wants to give you a see them no more victory.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We need to respond to God. Hallelujah. Let's just come forward today. Let's just worship God. Let's just praise him. Hallelujah. Let's praise him today because he's worthy of our praise.
Yes, he is. Yes, thank you.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. I thank you today for what you're doing. I thank you for your power, God. I thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you for your mercy today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to see them no more victory, God. I want to have the mastery, Lord God, over my situations, over my challenges. Hallelujah. Daniel was thrown into a lion's den because somebody lied on him. Somebody was looking at everything he did, trying to find fault in Daniel. But when Daniel was delivered out of the lion's den, he saw his enemies no more. Because the Bible says they were thrown down and the lions had mastery over them. And I'm telling you something. God wants you to have mastery over some things in your life. It's not going to control me no more. It's not going to take me down. It's not going to be the thing that is my pulling down and my falling down. It's not going to be that way anymore. Hallelujah. It's not going to be. The enemy's not going to have this rope on me. You know, this week, and I'm sure some of you have heard this term before. I was talking to my brother actually, and he was telling me, keep it going. He was telling me this week that in his job, a lot of the people that he works with, there's a term they use. They all have a handle. Anybody ever hear that term before? They have a handle. Meaning they have something in their life. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's illicit sex. You name it. They have a handle. And Satan wants everybody to have a handle. And you know where that handle leads? Straight down to the lake of fire. He wants everybody to have a handle. He wants everybody to have their crutch. The Bible talks, you know, many people say that we have crutches in life. You know, our faith is our crutch. Well, yeah, my handle is on God. I have a handle. Amen. My handle is being lost in the Spirit. Yes. My handle is being drunk in the Spirit.
Yes.
And I did say being drunk in the Spirit because the Bible says, be ye full of the Spirit.
Yes.
He juxtaposes that with wine. He says, be not drunk with wine, but do be filled with the Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
And there's something that you know, there's it looks the same. Because on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that they were in an upper room and people thought they were drunk because of what they were doing. Something about when you're in the presence of God, sometimes you need to lose control.
Yes.
Paul says, I pray with the understanding. And we all do that. But how many of us pray without the understanding? Pray in the Spirit. We need to do that. Paul says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. To give us indication that we have to get to that place in the Spirit of God. We need to get to that place every day where I'm lost. I can't understand what I'm saying. I don't understand what I'm doing. I'm in His presence and God's working on me. Hallelujah. I'm taking charge of my handle, as it were. Praise God. Hallelujah. God wants to give us a see them no more victory. Whatever it is that you're struggling with this morning, God and you know it. God and you know it. Hallelujah. There's nobody in this place that doesn't struggle with anything. But God knows what you struggle with this morning. And God's saying to you that I want to give you a see them no more victory. I want to give you victory over that thing. Hallelujah. Whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. It might have intensified in the last week. But God's saying it's just because He's following you. He's coming to the riverbed. Not understanding. He's chasing after you. When I've delivered you, and I'm about to destroy him.
Yes.
Praise God. He's about to destroy what's trying to destroy you.
Yes.
Satan has something he's trying to destroy you with. He's trying to change your life. He's trying to set destruction in your life. There's something that he's trying to do that to you with. But God's saying, there's going to be a see them no more victory in somebody's life. Hallelujah. Raise it all the way up. Hallelujah. Let's begin to pray. Hallelujah. Lord, I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want the victory, Lord, that you're promising me, God. I want that kind of victory today, God. I need that kind of victory in my life today. Hallelujah. I praise you. I magnify you, God. I need that kind of victory this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, have your way, God. Have your way. Hallelujah. When I don't understand, God, help me to have that kind of victory, God. Hallelujah. When it looks grim, when it looks bleak, help me, Lord, to have that kind of victory. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. I need that kind of victory in my life. Hallelujah. Over everything the adversary brings my way. I want that kind of victory today. I want that kind of victory today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.